I love it, dude. Thank you so much for your time and filling in for Ash. I guess I probably should have announced you. This is Alexa Petriella Italiano, replacing Ash, who is fucking in Hawaii right now.
Girl, have fun.
Dude, I know,
I love
right?
that.
Like, fucking bring back the sun, bring back the warm temperature.
Yeah, that time change though, that's whoo.
Welcome to Holding Center, a podcast created to help you own and hold center stage, not only on show day, but also in your life. I'm your host, Ashley Markham, owner of Myo Strength, and joined with me is my co-host, Ashley Spoker, owner of B&B Fit. Let's hold center.
I know it's Monday. What's been going on with your week?
Gosh. Nothing really this weekend. It was actually really funny. So obviously South Florida is like kind of hot occasionally. So we went out, like my boyfriend wanted to go out to this dive bar. So we went out with some of his coworkers and I was like, what is gonna keep this sticky bra on in this heat? And I was like, couldn't think about it. And I was like, wait, I have snake bite from when I competed. So like I threw snake bite all on it and it stayed.
You're like, fuck bikini bite. This calls for snake bite.
Yeah. I was like, let's do it. And I just like rolled it all on my chest and it stayed on the whole time. And I was like, wow, that's a competitor thing, has to be.
God bless. Salute our troops.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incredible. It's so funny that you mentioned that because I know you're an athletic trainer and I had like a slight like MCL. I would call it a sprain. It wasn't a tear by any means. It was like a mild thing where it was causing me irritation just to walk, not lift or any other thing. And so I was like, well, I don't have any KT tape, but I do have body tape for like lifting up the girls without like straps. And so I literally like body tape had it to my knee, like taped up the MCL. And I was like, you know what? Practicality. Like rather than making excuses, fucking make it work.
Love that. Did it work? Did it feel good?
Like a charm,
Yeah.
like a charm. I mean, like it keeps the tits up. It kept my MCL in place. I mean, like shit, Satan works hard, but body tape works harder. You know what I'm
Yeah.
saying? It's the support that keeps on supporting.
Honestly, that tape, I don't know how it just holds. I don't like it's like miracles.
It honestly, like it seemed super. I don't know. Like, I don't want to call it woo-woo, but like when I started using KT tape with my physical therapist, I was like, ain't no way. Like, one, I'm a sweaty hoe. I'm a very like move around person. So there's no way this tape is kind of like Billy Mays with the fucking flex tape. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, yeah, exactly. Where it's just like, it's like sticks on. I was like, ain't no way this is going to be like fucking flex tape. You know what? She stays. And mad respect.
Yeah.
Is that something that you use a lot in AT to like tape like joints and ligaments and stuff?
Yeah, it depends. There's only really scientific research out of that it works like right after an injury for swelling and like I'm decreasing that. There's not a ton on research, a ton of research on if it does help with injury and stuff like that. But mentally, I know it works. So mentally, if it works, it can work wonders.
Dude, that's actually a great segue into kind of our topic today. 'Cause like obviously like there is sometimes a battle between like the scientific community versus the anecdotal community, when in reality there doesn't need to be an all-out war. There's a blend, right? It's not either or, it's not black and white. There is a blend between like, yes, what we know has proven by science versus maybe what hasn't been proven yet, versus even just like that pure, like, you know, idea that like, oh, if mentally I think it works, it works. Because in reality, like we know just how powerful the brain is when it comes to like either causing or even fixing ailments. And I really wanted to talk about with you, since I think it's really important to see like your mental transformation along with your physical transformation, like how big a role the mind plays when it comes to physique development. So kind of talk about like maybe how you used to bodybuild before and now how that's different and how you're able to reap rewards.
Yeah, it was so unhealthy how I used to body build. I'm sure I mean, I feel like we all started in an unhealthy place, but like obviously not everyone does.
Right.
But I started actually bodybuilding in the pandemic. So I started building in 2020, where like all I had time for was to bodybuild. Like there was nothing else to do. So it was so easy just to like dedicate all my time, and like I have like a perfectionist tendency, so like to do all of that. And so like if my coach gave me a workout and was like, okay, this is Monday, Wednesday, Friday, for example, like I would hit it on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and there wouldn't be any question about it. So it was just like be doing that, and then also like hitting, I know you've talked about it and Ash has also talked about it before, I think, but like hitting your macros and like zeroing out everything in MyFitnessPal. And so like obviously I did that because I had the time. So like I would spend an hour every day zeroing, like playing macro Tetris and like zeroing everything out. It was kind of gross now thinking about it, but like here I am. So like I went from that to having to start my job again and like trying to figure out bodybuilding. And then there was a point where I was waking up at like 3:30 in the morning to go to the gym at 4:30. And so like clearly ruined my circadian rhythm and my hormones at the same time.
Be like a two for one whammy.
Yeah, literally that was horrible. But you know, here we're here, we learned. Yeah, so I just did that for a year and a half, 2 years. And then it took us, it was like a really slow transformation on changing my mental around it. But I slowly started being, I even remember like a year and a half ago when I started like really lifting after my gut phase, I was like so nervous to go back into my gut health phase and like trigger that somehow that I had to talk to one of my friends and I was like, I don't know what to do. Like I was like, I'm so afraid if I don't hit my workouts, like there's a rest day in between here, there's two rest days here. Like, what if I can't work out on that day? And she was like, why are you free? Like, don't freak out about it. Like you have these 7, 12 days, whatever my split was at that time. And she's like, you figure out your schedule within that day, those days, and then you're fine. And I was like, oh, that makes sense.
I mean, it's so important to understand how powerful the fear response is, whether it's like the fear of not hitting your macros and playing macro Tetris, which I mean, that's a high score that you'll never achieve, right? You just are losing your sanity. And then when it comes to wanting to be perfect because you are so scared to regress into health phases and gut health phases, especially, is a big physical and mental toll on any person, whether you're a competitive bodybuilder or maybe just a lifestyle client. And it's so important that, like, when we're in these phases, it's like we get through them through fear. And in a lot of ways, you're in them due to fear as well, because you're under this microscope, under this notion that if you fuck up, you have to restart. When in reality, like, the body and the mind is so imperative for these like successful phases that, like, then all you think about is, what phase am I in? Am I in a gut health phase? Am I in a recomp phase? And like, you literally lose yourself to phases. And then, like, what the fuck are we doing? What the fuck's the point? And then the next thing that you know, what in reality is happening, what phase you're in, is the burnout phase, which, how many of us have been there? Like, show fucking hands. Yes. Raise all the hands, right? And you just are like, why am I even, like, you forget your why, because you're no longer having fun. And I'm sure you can relate.
And it's like honestly, it's even hard to try to remember how to have fun. And it's just like what, and then I think it we as people get so caught up in like phases and titles that it's just like we need, it's like we need a reassurance almost to like have things match like what the scale says or match what the gym, like the weights say in the gym or something. And we just so get so caught up in like the minute detail that we don't see like the full picture. Like we're people, we're humans, we're supposed to have fun, like exist outside of bodybuilding.
Exactly. And I feel like once you finally understand that, like, you don't have to, like, one, you shouldn't try to aim for perfection anyway, because that is a standard you will never reach. And much like you, that's something that I have my own internal struggles with, you know, like, that's why, like, I work with a therapist to identify what areas of my life I try to strive for perfection and to actually break down those barriers. And in full transparency, like, the past couple of days, like, my GI has been on and off. So it's like, as a coach, I'm trying to problem solve, being like, oh, where is the issue going wrong? When in reality, I'm wearing the wrong hat. Well, yes, I am a coach. I'm your coach. When you are checking in with me, when you are sending me a training video, when you are asking me a question, my hat is coach for Alexa. But when I am having problems and I try to put my coach hat on, I'm missing the point. I need to have instead my athlete hat on because I have a coach, Austin, who I know has my back. And so sometimes it's really hard to pull out different hats and make sure that we have like our heads screwed on tightly so that where we don't lose it to stress and perception and our own emotions kind of swirling in our brain. But I do think it is so important to understand where a lot of the time these things are just driven through fear and these unrealistic expectations we have on ourselves because we do want to be high achievers. And there's nothing wrong with wanting better for yourself, but when that, type of mentality from going better to being the best to being perfect for us type A people, it's like it's a very slippery slope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like there's a blur and it's like you're just like zooming right to it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And like that, I do that too though sometimes. I'm like, well, like can I do this differently? Or like, oh, my GI is doing this, and like I try to put a coach hat on and I'm like, chill. This is what you have a coach for. And then it honestly makes it, when you go through that mentality, it makes it easier to be just be like, okay, I'm not worried about this. This is not my thing to worry about. This is my coach's thing. Like you've told me when we first started, we were like, I was like, well, the scale kind of jumped. And you're like, well, that's my number to worry about. You worry about the weights in the weight room and the gym. And I was like, oh yeah, I could do that.
You're like,
But
oh yeah, like you worry
I
about how long you can juggle a soccer ball for.
yeah.
That's your number.
I'm actually doing that after this podcast and I'm so excited.
Time
Yeah.
it.
I'll send you a video. I'm super excited about it. But it's also like you have to have your trust in your coach too for that. And like that's a huge part where like I think people, especially with perfectionist mentalities, like forget from a lot of reasons. Like you forget to trust because you don't really trust yourself at the same time, right? So it's like you don't have a lack of trust within yourself. So therefore, you're like, how can you trust really anyone else if you don't trust yourself?
Exactly. Dude, when your confidence is like scraping the bottom of the barrel, and it's like, this is where, again, like I keep going back to fear, right? When you have no trust and no confidence, all you have is fear. Fear takes such a powerful grasp on whatever you can control. And because that control is familiar, it feels safe. You want to literally control everything when we're not meant to, right? It's like whether you're my client or whether you've listened to the podcast, I talk about your controllables, how you nourish your body, how you move it, and then your response to what's happening in the world around you. Like you can't control if you get into, God forbid, a car accident. You can't necessarily control if you get injured. You can't control like if it rains. You're not meant to. What you're meant to do is control your response and be flexible and adaptable. So that way you can keep stacking up wins and focus on making progress, not achieving perfection. And it is so easy to get lost in the sauce when it comes to maybe having a poor relationship with yourself, maybe a poor experience with coaching, maybe a poor experience with overall bodybuilding, depending upon how you body built. And at the end of the day, you do have to have that level of self-awareness and self-ownership when it comes to the role that you had to play. But a lot of the times when you do that reflection and like you see the finger pointing back at you in the mirror and you're like, fuck, it does hurt. But the thing that is so important to understand is that's where you start to build up your confidence, right? And especially when you work with the right coach and focus on the right things, that's how you start to elevate and bring up that trust. And not only yourself, but of course your coach. And you can speak volumes on it, even though it's been, 6, 7 weeks working together. Like you've noticed not only yourself get better mentally, but then obviously when the mind is in a good spot, what happens next? The body starts to follow too.
Yeah, it's your body knows before your mind knows in some ways. Like your body, like I can trust this or like I can't trust this. In other ways, your mind knows before your body. And it's crazy how they interact and play such like crucial role. Yeah, it's something that's helped me trust myself more, honestly, in that whole thing is like affirmations and gratitude, which sounds so cliche, but they really have, especially gratitude. Like I know I mentioned you in this past week's check-in, like I was just super grateful for everything. And it's like if you can find like the little moments like of your day to be grateful for, it's like it honestly changes your whole mentality.
Yeah, that's really well said. Kind of going back to the wearing of different hats, I think that's really paramount for people to understand, especially because you and I like both just kind of put on the bodybuilding hat and like had such a fucking vice grip on it where it's like we refuse to be anything else. We refuse to recognize that we were a girlfriend or a wife or a daughter or, you know, a soccer athlete or whatever. And we just like grabbed hold and held on for dear life because our only life was bodybuilding. But talk about the difference that you've noticed in terms of learning to wear different hats and how that's actually made you a better athlete as a bodybuilder.
It's so, I feel like 6,000 thoughts just went through my head. But it was just like, so it's being able to sit in that role of like being a girlfriend or being a daughter has made me more empathetic in a way. Because like before, when I first started bodybuilding, I did have a boyfriend, right? And I was very like I need this, I need that, like you. Oh God, I was like, you can't have that bell pepper because I need that bell pepper.
You're
And
like,
yeah, literally, like I'm turning red right now because like it's that, like I'm embarrassed to think like that was my mentality then. But now it's more like abundance, like okay, we can split this, or like, oh, you have the last one. That's fine. I can go find like something else equivalent in the fridge. Like it's
dude,
really not the end of the world.
you're not the only bodybuilder that I'm sure that's wanting to shiv their boyfriend for the last grain of rice. You know what I'm saying? Like that is such a, when you were in such a do or die mentality, that 0.1% better, you mistake being passionate and ferocious for aggressive because you're like, if you don't give me that bell pepper, I'm gonna get worse. When in reality, it's like, hey, you can eat a tomato, you can eat like a citrus fruit, like literally anything else that you have in your fridge, or even go to the store, or just like replace it the next meal. Like you have so many other options, but when you are just in the thick of it, there are no options. It is either you follow the plan, you say yes, sir, or you fucking die trying.
It's crazy. And like the whole empathy has allowed me to also like be empathetic with myself and like be like, okay, like this isn't perfect, you know, trying to switch off that perfectionism. Like this isn't perfect, but you're doing what you can with what you have, and like it's great. Like you're great. You're not going to slip backwards. It's just like it teaches you this whole, it's like a whole other world almost that like you have to like transition to, but like it's a slow transition, but you get there.
Absolutely. And within those transitions, within those different hats, because you have essentially had to learn how to have fun again. Like I remember even saying your check-in, it's like, you know, as kids, like they don't need to be taught how to play. They just do it. They use their imagination. They, you know, make mud pies. They play with Barbie doll, Dream House, Transformers, G.I. Joes, whatever. Or shit, they even go up to the extent of making imaginary friends to play with, right? That's just the part of being a kid. It's part of the magic of just being whimsical. And as adults, like, yes, I understand we can't like make imaginary friends and have the Fairly Odd Parents have our back. But at the same time, we can't also get lost in the sauce when it comes to work, eat, bills, taxes, you know, yada, yada, yada. We have to remind ourselves that play isn't part of what makes us human. And since I know you've been learning that, what are some things that you've been enjoying doing outside of meal prepping and going to the gym? Because I'm sorry, fucking meal prepping is not a hobby.
It's not, and I used to think it was so like crazy. But I do love cooking, so like that's a thing that I try to do. My boyfriend and I try to do now more is like cooking. So he's Italian and I'm Italian, so we both grew up. Yeah, I love it. We both grew up with Italian food, so like now on Sundays we're trying to do more of like an Italian dinner vibe. Yeah, and like I
Yes, I
still.
saw those eggplant parmesan little bites. I saw that.
Yeah, they're so good. And like you can track it and find easier ways to track it. And so like I cook his in olive oil and I just throw mine in the air fryer and mine turn out just as great as his. And so it's like the little things that you learn throughout your bodybuilding journey that are like, oh, like I could do this. It's just might take a little more effort, but I could still do it and make it work. But yeah, doing that, I love baking, and I know you love baking too. But like baking for me is like a stress relief almost. Like it's just calming. And then like obviously getting outside. And I love grounding, like just getting in the grass and just chilling in the grass. Just doing something like that. I love TJ Maxx and Target, so I retail therapy might be an
But your
issue.
wallet doesn't.
Literally. But like you get deals at TJ Maxx.
She's like, girl math. But what about like ways you get to express yourself? Like, what about with like, okay, rekindling an old hobby like soccer or doing clay? Like, I know, like, speaking of grounding, you love clay work.
Yeah, I love clay work. When I was like, it also like brings me back to my childhood too. Like soccer, clay, it's like I'm literally reverting back to middle school, high school. Clay work, my little wheel is right over there in the corner. It's cute. I'm honestly surprised I found a wheel that was decent price. But anyway, clay work, I love the wheel and I love hand sculpting. Not the greatest at drawing, but anything I draw, I do enjoy drawing, but I tend to draw things. I can't draw people. I don't want to try. It's too hard. it's something I know right now. But honestly, you can find drawing tutorials on YouTube or like juggling tutorials on YouTube for soccer, like or tricks to learn for soccer on YouTube. Like it's YouTube has so much that you can pull from. I'm sure TikTok does too, but I'm a millennial, so I don't know TikTok. But like it's like there's so much you can draw from. But I do love drawing when I do draw Lion King. Like that's all I've ever drawn was the Lion King. It's like any Simba reference I will draw.
I love that. You have to share that with me because I love The Lion King and so does my cat. Whenever I'm watching like anything Lion King, she'll just be like glued to the TV with me because she also loves just like lions. So definitely
It's
share.
like her past. It's like her
It
relic.
literally is. She's like, I feel evolved. But I think it's so good to have hobbies and fun outside of bodybuilding. And dare I say, because you are now more of a well-rounded person, you find enjoyment in bodybuilding. It's probably less of a chore and more of a joy.
It's more of like I get to go to the gym, not I have to go to the gym.
Exactly. What do you think are kind of like some big key mindset shifts when it comes to like how you used to bodybuild in like, I guess, 2020 when COVID hit versus 2025 now?
It was a lot of digging into who I was and like what I thought I lacked and like all of my insecurities. Really what I like who I thought I was and like as a person being an athlete my whole life, like I played soccer, I played field hockey. Like I was a three-season athlete in high school and then I played rugby in college. So then it's after college, it's like who are you without an identity? Like I identified myself through sport. And so like bodybuilding just fell into that perfectly. And I think after, going through bodybuilding and being in the journey, I finally realized like who am I outside of sports? Like who like why do I feel like I need a sport to identify with? And it was a lot of like digging within myself and like my insecurities and my ego, really, and just like tearing that apart and like figuring it out. But like it takes a long time and it just takes a lot of awareness.
Yeah. Is there anything that you can like pinpoint that kind of helped with your awareness? Like, was there any books that you read, or did you do counseling or therapy, or like what helped you essentially like awaken, for lack of a better term?
Yeah, I did more of like it wasn't therapy per se. It was more like energy healing and figuring that out. And I did a lot of that with Rania and figuring out like where I lacked as a person, or I thought I lacked as a person. And then it was a lot of digging through childhood stuff with her. And then like with I did another program for that with Megan Long actually. She had like an Empower Her program. And I did that during my break, like my break from bodybuilding. I did that. I did do therapy. I still am doing therapy. Actually I have therapy today at 5, which I'm really
Hell
excited
yeah.
about. books wise, I did read a lot. I read Atomic Habits, which always helps. I actually know what I really loved was The Alchemist.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that really helped me like I feel like I can read that book once a year and see it from a different perspective. It's like where you are in life, it resonates to you no matter what. It just depends on what level you're at in your life. And so like that book, I feel like I can read every year. I really love that book. I read another one. I literally just packed all my books away. But yeah, I love like the self-help books. So it was like an orange book. It was like how to un-F yourself or something like
Oh,
that.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah,
Yeah.
those are good ones. I might
Yeah.
have to look into, you said The Alchemist?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might have to look into that one. That one sounds something that's good. But I do think it's really good to understand, like, we talk about these like journeys to self-awareness and, you know, bettering your mindset and bettering yourself. But sometimes what's lost is actually how to do that. Because when you're so down and low, when you have no trust in yourself, no confidence, it can almost seem like daunting and even like depressing. It's kind of like, well, what the fuck's the point? Like, I'm here. Like, this is just who I am. This is just how life's supposed to be. And you kind of give up and have like almost like an Eeyore mentality before you even try. And I think it's really good to talk about like the steps that you take, understanding that one, like whether it's bodybuilding or any other sport or really any skill-based thing, it's going to take time. It's going to take time through consistent efforts, putting in the reps, putting in the hours. And then it takes action. Like, it's not just about waiting around hoping like a miracle happens. It's like, no, like I did the inner healing when it comes to, you know, doing books, doing like, you know, different types of modalities when it comes to healing, like asking myself the hard questions, putting myself through like the hard challenges of what I think about myself and challenging those thoughts, because nothing's going to happen unless you work on it. And I think a lot of the time when we get into these like healing journeys, we think it's going to be smooth sailing because we're doing it to better ourselves. But sometimes in order to get better, you have to really dig into the skeletons in your closet. You got to break some bones. You have to actually heal and heal properly. And sometimes that starts with like some pretty painful shit.
Yeah, honestly, you have to. It's a lot of crying. I'm a crier. I don't really get angry. I cry a lot. It's a lot of crying and like, but honestly, you have to tear yourself down and cry that much in order to feel all that joy on the other side. Like, because if you don't, you're not gonna feel all that joy and you're not gonna feel all that like overwhelming happiness, you know?
No, I think that's really, really smart. And I think it's great that you also understand that it's like a continuation. It's not just like, oh, I was like this broken robot in 2020 and now I'm this perfect little angel in 2025. Like, no, it's a continuing journey. It's a continued process, whether you are wanting to be a competitive bodybuilder or a rugby superstar or a soccer player or like whatever hats that you like to wear when it comes to the pursuit of being like a higher version of yourself or bettering yourself. Like, it is a constant evolution. It is a constant self-reflection and analysis. It's not just like you wake up one day and it clicks and everything's hunky-dory. Like, life is always going to throw you challenges and curveballs, but it's how you choose to like handle those challenges kind of dictates whether you strike out or, you know, hit a home run. And I do think it's really important to reflect upon that because us as us like type A perfectionistic black and white, you know, type of people, it's like we think that once we have the problem solved, there are no more problems, not understanding that the next problem's lurking around door number two.
Yeah.
And if we're not careful and that door gets open, we might honestly regress and kind of enter into another doom spiral, which is something that even I'm working on with my therapist, is like understanding there's always work to be done, there's always problems to be solved, but understanding that you yourself are only the problem if you view yourself as the problem, not as the solution maker.
Yeah. And there's always, yeah, like you said, there's always going to be something. Like it's not, and healing isn't linear either. So it's not like since 2020 and since you've started healing, it's not like all been upward trend. Like it's literally been like, oh, whoops, we're going, okay. We're safe.
Whoops.
Yeah. We're plateauing. That's fine. That's fine. Oh, it's like literally a roller coaster. So it's never linear. Just like bodybuilding isn't linear. It's just life. And you just ride the roller coaster. You just hold on.
Exactly. But that's like the kind of the joy of living. Like, if you're not having challenges, if you're not growing, like, chances are, like, it's not that necessarily complacency is bad, but like, the whole point of living is to be alive versus like when we are in kind of like a roboticism era, like, this is something that is really near and dear to my heart because of how awful I was to myself, because I told myself, you are a robot. You know, fuck your emotions, fuck your personhood, fuck your peace, fuck your joy. Like that roboticism, almost AI generated movement back in like 2019, which is when I like really was like pew, 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 to myself. And like that bled into 2020, 2021. Like all that joy was gone. And then I was into depression, insomnia, suicidal thoughts and tendencies because I forced myself to think of myself as this robotic being, not as a human. And like that mentality will fucking ruin you because, newsflash, surprise, you are not a robot. You are, you know, a bunch of squishy parts that send electrical signals that does all of these things, from laughter to crying to, you know, going to the bathroom. Like you're not just like, oop, here's some gas, here's some oil, beep bop. Like that's not how that works. Like I know it's silly to say that, but a lot of the times we literally will gaslight ourselves into being like, you're a fucking robot because you need to be. You don't need to be. You can't be. And you might feel like a robot for 3 months and you're like, hell yeah, I'm perfect. I'm the bee's knees. And then something happens and you're like, oh fuck.
And your body shuts down, honestly, in that when you do become a robot, it's like, oh, no room for fun. Like, no, okay, we're doing this now. Okay, we are doing this. We are here. I'm gonna stay here. Because it's like it's trying to protect itself. So it's not going to expand if you're not going to expand. Like they go in sync. They're not mutually exclusive at all.
Exactly. One of my like I understand, guys, keep in mind, I understand the analogy, but something that sometimes really like grinds my gears is when people, like when fitness coaches on Instagram are like, diamonds are formed under pressure. Yes. But here's the deal. You're not volcanic ash. Like legitimately, I understand the mentality of like, oh, in order to get better, you have to have pressure and challenges in order to grow. Yes, 100%. But for some of us, we will take that analogy and apply it not metaphorically, but literally to ourselves. We are just literally creating so much pressure to the point we break because we are not that hardened carbon. We're not going to be a diamond. We are, again, human. We are pink, squishy flesh molecules that when you add so much pressure, you fucking explode, right? So it's understanding that when you have these type of tendencies like Alexa and myself, sometimes the best thing in a coach is not putting more pressure because, spoiler alerts, we put so much pressure on ourselves, we don't need any more pressure. That's how you end up in burnout and depression and anxiety-driven madness. But when you have a coach that wants to pull the best out of you, that tells you, hey, like we don't always have to be flooring it. We can like just coast. That's still forward progress versus the kind of jerky like stick driving where it's like, and because just because you don't know when to pull back, you are constantly trying to like alter the throttle to see how faster you can even go. You lose point of the scenery of driving. You know what I'm saying? And I think it's so important to understand that like, there is a time to push and apply pressure. There's also a time to pull back to allow healing, to make sure that you're keeping your progress forward. You know, the saying that like setbacks are comebacks, 100%, but setbacks aren't a step backward unless that's the last step you take. Like you can take a step back, but that's not necessarily negative momentum when you continue to take steps forward again. Like you were saying, it's not linear, it's all over the place, it's a roller coaster. But it is so important to hear that and remind yourself of that during the hard times as much as the good times, because sometimes things are going so good, you're like getting to the top of that roller coaster. But what happens? You fall, you get that adrenaline rush, but you're supposed to fall. Like that's the point of life, is to have these ups and downs. But you know, as the adage is, right, the midline. Like as a bodybuilder, as a person, it's important to celebrate the highs, but recognize that lows could be coming. It's also important to recognize that lows are difficult and challenging, but they're not forever either.
And I think it's important to, if you are searching to find a coach out there, right, or you're thinking about switching coaches or whatever is going on, it's important to find a coach that also treats you like as a human, like it because it life isn't about bodybuilding. It's not do or die. Like there's going to be a point where you don't, are you going to bodybuild until like you're 85, 90?
Yes.
Like, no. Yes, I am. I'm going to do competitions.
You're gonna
Like,
see my saggy titties
it's
just.
just so like, it's who are you outside of it? And it's like, I think that's why you're forcing, honestly, when you tell me like go have fun, go play, it's like forcing me out of a comfort zone of hiding behind bodybuilding, which I appreciate because it's just like I can easily hide behind it. That's easy. Like you could tell me to be a bodybuilder all day, done. Like I've been doing it for 5 years, I can keep going. Like, but who are you besides that? And it's like finding a coach who allows that is huge because obviously like it allows you to expand everything outside of that, which expands your bodybuilding in general.
Exactly. And I feel like a lot of people, especially like the former diehards, which I mean, you and I both were when we were so into our own shit, where again, bodybuilding was how we hid from ourselves, right? It's like how we kind of put the eye covers over. We're going to hear that. We're going to hear the idea of be a person, go have fun as weakness, as, oh, you're being pussy, as you're a little bitch, as like you're not a hardcore bodybuilder like I am because I'm suffering. You don't get a trophy in bodybuilding for suffering. You don't get a trophy in life for suffering. Right? Like it's important to understand what is worth suffering for. And because I know that you have used bodybuilding in the same way that I used to use bodybuilding as a way to mask pain and to mask, you know, frustration and fear and, you know, self-hatred. It's like forcing you to go take a free meal when your parents are in town, to show me a video of you juggling a soccer ball. Like that is hard for you. Like I have full confidence that when I give you a Bulgarian split squat, you're gonna fucking take it to the grave. Like, I know that about you. It's reminding yourself to be a daughter, to be a girlfriend, to be a dog mom outside of those hours where you're giving me and giving yourself your all in the gym. It's like once that athlete hat is done, like go throw it in the wash, go clean it, but then put another hat on just so again, you're a well-rounded human being and you're happier because I don't want you for 3 months where you're giving me 110% and then you fizzle the fuck out and that's it. That's it for you. I'm more interested in making sure you have a lifelong career that even when our time is done as coach and athlete, that you think highly of our time together, that you look back when you are 80, 90 years old, being like, the work Ash and I did was good shit. And I'm glad for that time in my life. Like, that is so important to have that reflection.
Oh, it's gonna be great shit. I can't wait to hit the stage in however many years when you tell me it's go time, I'm like, let's go. I'm pumped for that. But yeah, no, it's a like I said earlier, like this weekend when I went out with my boyfriend, like if you asked me to do that even 3 years ago, I probably would have had a panic attack before going out because like how am I gonna get food? How am I gonna get my water in? How am I gonna get my steps in? Like all of this has gone through my head and did it flash through my head really quickly? Yes, but you know what was easy? Bringing a protein bar to a bar and getting Diet Cokes at the bar because they don't have Coke Zero, but
Did you get
whatever.
lemon and lime?
No. No, I
Next
didn't.
time you
I
get
should
Diet
have.
Coke, get
It's
lemon and lime.
a game changer. I was actually kind of upset. I went to the bar, right? And it's a dive bar, whatever. They only do cash. And so that's fine. But they were charging $4 for the smallest Diet Coke. And I was so upset. Yeah. I was so upset. I was like, well, it's because they don't want people to bring their own like airplane bottles. And that's how they like counteract it. But $4.
Okay, so time out. One, a diet soda, sorry, diet pops. I'm from Ohio. Pop is $2.50 at like most restaurants. That to me is expensive. Like that to me is like, what the fuck? And two, usually when you go to a dive bar, especially if you're like, oh, I'm the designated driver, they pump that shit because you're like, oh, thanks for like not encouraging drunk driving. So shame on that
Literally,
establishment.
that's literally what I thought they were going to do because that's literally been every experience I have has been like, oh, it's free. Don't worry about it because you're just ordering Diet Coke. That's literally just push the button and you're fine. But like, yeah, no, $4 and most of it was ice anyway. So, how I counteract that sometimes is I bring like my Crystal Light packets and then I
Ooh.
just get water and I just mix it.
Oh, I love that. But I think a really big important thing is regardless of like let's take you and then 3 year ago you, it was the same quote unquote problem. One, you focused on only the problems. How am I going to get my meals in? How am I going to get my steps? How am I going to get my water? Versus you still asked yourself the same questions, but you answered them, and you answered them without losing your mind. And because the fact that you didn't have a catastrophe spiral, you went out to have fun with your significant other and maybe some friends or whatever. You didn't just like put yourself in a little box in your house and being like, rrr, 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 I'm a good little bodybuilder because I denied myself fun and pleasure. Like, I know, like, we're laughing at that now, but like, literally 3 years ago, that was our life or lack thereof.
That's why we're laughing.
Why we're laughing, right? Because like we see ourselves just like little violin in the background, just like sitting there with like maybe like our cup of tea before bed, like watching Netflix, being like, I'm gonna have the best training session tomorrow. And you're like, yeah, you could have had like a great training session even after going to like the dive bar or whatever, because like you don't know what tomorrow presents. And like sometimes when you're so filled with anxiety, you take away from tomorrow just from the panic that you have today.
Yeah. And literally, like, it's not worth it. Like, why are you worrying twice? And that's what, like, I think of, that's literally what I think about now is like, I literally worried double. It's probably what sent me into my gut health phase is the fact that, like, I just double worried. Like, what are you doing? You don't, it's fine. You're fine. Everything is fine. It's nothing is on fire.
Tomorrow will take care of itself. And I think some big takeaways, if you are like us or were like us, hopefully you are in your own like middle of your healing and are no longer like us. But I think a big part of anxiety is because of the unknowns, you forget that again, you're not meant to control everything. And tomorrow will do what it needs to do. The people that you have conversations with, your coach, your significant others, your loved ones, your kids, like you can't control their response or their actions or what they say to you. But a lot of the times we have these fake internal monologues with ourselves and these conversations that will never happen, just absolutely catastrophizing the worst possible outcome. But here's the deal. Like, even if the worst outcome does happen, you're going to be equipped either way. Because like unless you like, SOL and just like sign off for like the rest of your life, like chances are you're not going to die. You know what I'm saying? But like when you are so prone to anxiety and that like negative mindset, you don't even consider the possibility that this might be like the best thing ever for you. Like I was speaking with another athlete and she's in the middle of signing a condo. She is, in the middle of like her school career and then her gym is shutting down. And she like, she was having a really hard time with all of these changes, especially because a lot of them were negative stress. And I kind of hit back at her and I was like, what if this new gym is the best thing that ever happened to you? And she's
Yes.
like, took a, kind of like took a step back. And it's like, I never even considered that. It's like, you can't only fixate and hyper fixate on the negative without ever considering the opposite side of the coin.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's just it I love that you said that because like it change can be really positive. Change can like make you see things from a whole different perspective, like that gym. Like that's huge. What if you love this new gym? What if it has everything, new equipment? It's like fun to play in new gyms also too.
It really is. And yeah, it's just one of those things where it comes down to awareness and cognitive rethinking. And that's just like dork speak for like changing your mind when it comes to how you perceive the world around you. Like, it literally could be as simple as, a gym change where you're like, oh, this could be like the best gym. This could be the gym where they have the machine that I've always wanted to use. It could be something where it's like the store is out of the almond milk that you get. Okay, well, this gives me a chance to, try cashew milk or something else like that. And I know it seems so small, but when your life is fueled with anxiety, like the smallest of changes usually can set a person off. So if you are in the thick of it of kind of this mental transformation, start to challenge yourself with change, not like huge catastrophic changes that is going to send you spiraling into a relapse, but legit, you have almond milk. This is your almond milk. It's this color blue. Like, try a cashew milk, try a different non-dairy free milk. Like, literally, just try it. And maybe something amazing happens. Maybe something terrible happens. Maybe, and this is the most possible solution, the most hypothetical, the one that's likely going to happen, fucking nothing happens. Nothing
Literally.
bad. Like maybe you like cashew milk. Maybe you're like, oh, fuck this almond milk. I like cashew milk now. Like, I mean, this is just a tiny little example, but regardless, it's like when you force yourself to change how you think about the smallest things when big, maybe even traumatic life events happen, it's not that it needs to roll off your shoulder. It's not that you can't feel or you can't think about like and process what you need to. It's how much of that you absorb before you're able to process it. That is kind of like the key of stress management. It's not like being a bubble boy, putting yourself in saran wrap and not living life. That's not the point. It's when things happen, how do you handle them?
And like you went through that. I know we've all gone through that, but like you also like walked through your client with that situation, like helping them see the other side and not get totally bogged down with stress. And like that is from a athlete perspective, that's so appreciated because like you need that mental challenge in order to get out of your brain, right? You need that little mental, oh, okay. Like I'm safe.
A little, it's like a little mental orgasm. It's like, oh,
But
no,
like you
that's
need,
so true.
yeah, and like a lot, some coaches are just like, oh, like figure it out. And you're like, oh, okay. Like, I guess I'll figure it out. But it and just ends up making you spiral even more. Like, it's just having that communication with your coach. I know you love that communication. Like, you want that. Like, you truly want to help someone and like help their life, not just their bodybuilding life. And it's just like you need that little, the little check.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to be cared for as human beings. Like that's one of the things, like outside of like taking care of your physical body with sleep, nutrition, water, the other predictor of longevity, which is like I coach the entire human being for this reason, is communication and relationships. Like that is just as paramount as eating fruits and vegetables, getting 7 to 8 hours of quality sleep. Like isolation is a death sentence. And when you force your athletes and clients, there is a point where, yes, I will encourage autonomy because I want to build up your confidence. Again, I want to pull the best out of you. But I think it's also important to give perspective with and then provide options. Because if I just told you, hey, that sounds like that's shitty, figure it the fuck out. What if you don't have the tools yet to figure it out? Or what if you're so like anxiety prone that your anxiety is like you literally can't think clearly. You are too emotional to think logically. That's where the coach comes in, right? It's not that I don't get emotional about my client's progress because that's not the truth. Like when you have a hard week, I feel for you. When you have a great week, I celebrate you. Like I get excited, I get sad, but I'm never going to get angry or exasperated at the client. I may get exasperated at the situation because I feel like I'm failing the client and how I communicate, but I don't lose myself to emotion with a client's check-in because if I do that, we're both fucked because I can't effectively lead you. But I feel like a lot of people think that their coaches are mad at them. And granted, some coaches maybe don't have a good, tight emotional control when it comes to how they're leading and guiding, but you feel with the client both the highs and the lows while still leading them to be their best. That's your job as a leader and as a coach. And it's so important to know that. So when you're wearing your coach hat and you see your athlete just having a really hard time, it's like, this is our job to build up your confidence to be a team together. So from my perspective, since I'm not feeling what you're feeling because my, logic isn't clouded by emotions, this is what makes sense to me. What do you think? What sounds like the best situation for you? And you're like, oh, thank God, I didn't even consider that. How could you? You're literally in like a thought storm of emotion,
You're in
like shit.
spiral.
Literally, you're circling the drain.
But it's like also your responsibility as an athlete to communicate that with your coach too. So if you just stay in your spiral, it's not helping you, and your coach has no idea what's going on. So it's like also your responsibility to communicate that. And it's hard for coaches to read between the lines. Like it's like impossible almost because they don't see you every day. They don't know how you are every day. So if you don't include that in a check-in or whatever, like it's almost they can't do that.
True.
But
But I
I'm
will
curious.
say, in terms of when it comes to coaching, and this granted comes, I think, with more time in the game, more experience as a coach, I understand what's happening with what you say and what you don't say. Because, like, that again is like why we pay attention, why the small little details matter. Like, there are some clients where it's like, I know they're pregnant before they do. It's like that is the attention to detail when it comes to biofeedback and monitoring all these things that you monitor. It's like, when you pay attention, you, like I said, you know just as much as like they're not telling you, which is why sometimes it's good to kind of probe and ask follow-up questions. But at the end of the day, like that doesn't mean as a client, as an athlete, you don't communicate because like that is part of the journey. That's part of how you build up your confidence. That's how you get better in terms of skill acquisition and in terms of just being a more confident human being. Because at the end of the day, that's the whole point of coaching is meeting you where you're at and helping you, building you up to where you want to go. Like, regardless of what that end goal is, whether it's to step on stage, lose 15 pounds, not be a diabetic, you know, feel confident in your own skin, like whatever goal that you have, the whole point is, you know, technically taking the hypotenuse in terms of like being a triangle, getting there as quick and as reasonably as possible, but also understanding that like rather than focusing on the end result, learning to enjoy the journey, enjoy the process, because that's where you do the growth.
Yeah, there's no growth at all when you're holding the trophy. I can tell you, there's none. It's just celebration. And then what do you do the next day? Like back to the grind. So like where you gotta learn somewhere in the process.
Exactly. Any final thoughts or closing remarks that you want to leave the listeners with, or maybe something you wish, you know, 2020 Alexa would have heard that she needed to hear that probably didn't want to hear.
She didn't want to hear a lot. I still don't want to hear a lot. Just kidding. I think it's a lot of digging into who you are and uncovering like the dirty. Like you're not gonna want to hear a lot of it or hear that you're the problem most of the time. But it's a lot of challenging your own thought. Yeah, it's just and ask for help. Please ask for help. Like that's something I wish I told myself would be ask for help and lean on your community.
No, I think that's so important
Yeah.
because, again, like we touched on, it's like that isolation's a killer. And when you don't like yourself, you project. And so that then you think that no one else likes you. And so then you isolate and you restrict even further because then you think that only you are dependable, only you can rely on you. And in reality, it's not that you can rely on yourself, it's that you're so scared from actually facing what you don't want to face. That it's a prison, right? It's this box of isolation rather than being like, oh, I'm the only one that I can depend on. Like, it's not actually like that. And if you do think that, it's like, it's not that other people are depend are not dependable. It's just that, like, you have so much control over your life when you shouldn't be that, like, you gotta like loosen up. You know what I'm saying? But I do think you have really good words of wisdom because at the end of the day, like, as athletes, we are not robots. We
No.
are human beings. We need to have a life outside of bodybuilding. We need to have a life outside of your other favorite hobby. Like, this isn't just for like bodybuilders, although yes, this sport does attract a lot of like the type A people. Hi, hello, how you doing?
Yeah.
But like anything that you do in life that you want to do really well, it's important to again be well-rounded and consider other avenues and aspects of your life. Because again, when you look at the grand scheme of your timeline, it's like you were a student. You were, you know, a soccer player, rugby player, you were a bodybuilder, but at like sometime you like, I know you want to be a mom. So then it's like you're gonna have your mom arc. And it's really important that even when you're a mom, especially when you're a mom, you don't lose yourself to motherhood. And what I mean by that is you don't become a martyr, that you lead by example for your children to model what does health look like, what does boundaries look like, because then you are leading the next generation and that impact has a trickle effect for the next future generation. So regardless of how you do, why you do it, make sure you do it for the right reasons. Make sure you focus on what is quote unquote suffering for in the right mentality, not just suffering needlessly.
Yeah. What would you tell yourself?
Honestly, I hate to kind of mirror what you said, but like it just drives home the point.
Yeah.
To do it alone. Like, ask for help. Like, I think it's so important for especially strong, independent females to recognize that yes, it is great to be strong and independent, but don't confuse dependence for isolation. Because, like, again, we are communal creatures. Like, it is important to have perspectives that challenge our own perspectives, whether it's with friends or community or even therapy. Like, I wish I would have actually worked with a therapist that would have helped me understand that, like, it's not necessarily what I do, it's how I'm doing it. Because even like if you look at when I was anorexic versus when I was in prep, they look almost identical. It was food restriction, a lot of, burning calories, a lot of gym time. But when I was deeply anorexic, I was doing it because I hated myself. When I was in my first prep, kind of the same, but now I'm in prep again. So almost like 5 and then 10 years later, it's like, well, I'm doing this because like it's a competition. Like it's a competitive outlet, but like I'm doing it because I want to make myself proud. I want to do right by my sport. I want to be a good example for my clients. Like I love this shit. It makes me so happy, even if I have hard days. It's like that mental shift that I just, gave a minute spiel on was over a decade in the making. It's going to take time, but like it's one thing to know it's going to take time and one thing to make it unnecessarily painful because you're stubborn.
That's so true. And like you enjoying, you being able to enjoy the process while you are learning bodybuilding and going through it makes you able to enjoy the process of prep. Like it has a direct reflection on it. Like if you can't enjoy the process before prep, you're not going to enjoy prep. It's you're going to be miserable.
Agreed. And in that, it's like, even on the hard days, lean on your gratitudes. Like, it's something where, like, personally, affirmations don't work for me, but gratitudes does. Gratitudes is something that I'm pointing to my husband back there, even though the screen's completely blank. My imaginary friend over there. No, it's like, even on like Eric's hard days where he's pissed at work, on my hard days where it's not that I'm pissed at work. I'm usually pissed at myself, but I'm being honest, completely honest with you guys. It's like, we will both like be on a walk, and one of us will be like, "What are you grateful for?" And we'll both be like,
Damn.
"I'm grateful for," and then we bounce back and forth. And before, like, in the beginning of the gratitude is like, "I'm grateful for grass," and then like you start to be less bitchy, and you're like, "You know what? I'm actually grateful for my life." It's like if you keep playing ping pong with gratitudes, it's not woo woo. It's because it's what it is. It's perspective. It's perspective for your emotional brain to understand that, like, yes, you have hardships, but don't focus on the hardships. Focus on the solution. Focus on feeling what you need to feel, so then you can get through it. Because I'll be first to admit how I used to process, like, how I view myself. So I'd stuff it. Like I would essentially like run, I would run away from it and not address it. So then when something that really did trigger me boiled up, it blew up in my face, right? Like I'm sure you can relate, but it's like, if I feel what I need to feel now, there's no like, it's like a crock pot. You know what I'm saying? It's like a pressure cooker. It's like, there's no pressure building. It's just highs and lows, dips and valleys, instead of just,
It's like you left the pen somewhere and you can't remember where you left it, so it like the top explodes.
dude,
It's
like
like
legit,
it
legit. Like my, honestly, one of my goals in my most recent like therapy sessions is like you drop something on the floor. It's fucking shit. But then you move on. You're posing. If I'm in a mood, if I lose my lucidity and do my drain spiral, that will ruin me for like several hours, if not like a day or two, because I don't process it. But my goal was to view how I pose or view any of my other quote unquote triggers as dropping something on the floor. Fucking shit, move on. This week, honestly, I did pretty good. I started to get a little bit inside of my head, was just like, you know what? Where are you feeling it? That's where you're feeling it. Why are you feeling this? Like step by step. And then guess what? When you process through it, it doesn't linger. It's not like a hangover where it's still lingering in the background. Like you actually are like, oh, why does this matter to me? Why am I feeling this way? Where do I feel it? What is to be done? Okay, I'm feeling it in my chest. This matters to me. What can be done? I still show up and do the work. That's the secret. The 1, 2, 3, Ash Markham for dealing with anxiety.
Trademark it.
That's right. Buy my next ebook. No, I'm kidding. Any final thoughts or things that you want to discuss on?
No, I just think, just got to go through the process and ask yourself the tough questions and like dive into why, like your whys. Ask yourself why and keep digging why until you figure it out.
Exactly. And then I will be sappy before we sign off. As of right now, I know we've only been working together. Like, I think this is week 7 going into week 8 eventually. Your quote unquote 6 week, 7 week transformation has been one of my favorites because it is, I know you're older than me, but like, I just like, if you work with me, you're one of my kids because like, I'm not having biological kids. So like all of my athletes are kids, whether you're 60 or you're 22, you're my kid, take care of you. But why I love your transformation is because I literally see so much of who I was and who you used to be in terms of like how we bodybuild. That the fact that you've like changed within like this just short time of us working together, it's my favorite and it's near and dear to my heart because it's what I wish I would have had. And so it's like to see you heal and like just come into your own in just such a short amount of time, relatively, it gives me hope for other females because you know there is more girls like us
Oh,
who
yeah.
suffer for the sake of suffering because I want to be a hardcore bodybuilder or my coach expects me to do X, Y, and Z and be a robot. It's like you don't gotta do it like that. You can, like by all fucking means, you can, but
Go
like,
for it.
well, I wouldn't recommend it. Like
Yeah.
0 out of 10 on Yelp, you know what I'm saying? But it's like it just gives me hope that like you're doing the good shit. And that just makes me really excited because like one, I love seeing you win and do better and be kinder to yourself. But also it's like if we can do it and we're human beings, then other girls in our shoes can do it too.
For sure. And like that's why I love talking about it, is because like I need that trickle effect to happen to heal my younger self a little bit selfishly. But like if it's happening to other us, it definitely happens to other people. And like I'm sure you felt this in the beginning of us working together, but like I feel like the first week or two I slipped back into how I used to bodybuild. And like how I like that old mentality. And I think that's why the 6 week transformation is special for me too, because it's like, okay, I slipped back, but then I caught myself. And then like I started doing it how I wanted to do it. And like you helped a lot with that. So thank you a lot for that. But it was just like, yeah, like, and I just like, I didn't think I could do that transformation in 6 weeks, but I did. So like, what else? Come on, let's give me another 6 weeks. Let's go.
Exactly, right? And that's how you like become like process oriented because it's like, yeah, I did notice in the first 2 weeks, it's like, you know, I don't use the word stress with you. I used overstimulated because the word stress stresses you out. Like you told me that. And I remember that because it's like, okay, well, like what was her background? What was her context? Okay, that makes sense. We don't use that word. We don't talk about Bruno, but you still feel overwhelmed or you still feel stimulated. And it's like, how can we channel that into feelings of productivity without losing ourselves to the sauce. And again, we develop that through our communication, which is why it's so important as coach and client, athlete and coach to have an open door policy where you can communicate in order to collaborate, in order to move the ship forward. And to your point, yeah, you had a little bit of regression, but yeah, a setback turned into a comeback, a step back turned into several steps forward
Yeah.
because you reflected.
Pause. Hit the pause
Exactly.
button. Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
I love it, dude. Thank you so much for your time and filling in for Ash. I guess I probably should have announced you. This is Alexa Petriella Italiano, replacing Ash, who is fucking in Hawaii right now.
Girl, have fun.
Dude, I
I
know, right?
love
Like fucking bring back the sun, bring back the warm temperature.
that. That time change, though, that's woo.
Dude, I think it was like 10 a.m. Then I saw her on Instagram posting a check-in at like 4:30 a.m. and I was like,
Yeah.
fuck that. But do you listen to Holding Center? No pressure if you don't.
No, I do, yeah.
Okay, so do you know the sign off then? You
The
know the
grateful.
sign. Do you know? Yes, your gratitudes. Yes, good. So what are you grateful for?
You finding you as a coach, honestly. I'm grateful for my life. I'm grateful for my dog. He's 13, so the fact that he still acts like a puppy, like, I'm gonna be more grateful for that. I'm grateful for a lot, so I'll just go with those for right now. But yeah, no. What are you grateful for?
That's so good. Well, one, I'm grateful that you were able to skiddly boop on the podcast because I know it kind of reached out on last minute. So I appreciate you making time for just sharing your experience, but also bouncing back and forth, kind of like our general story since they do line up so well. And I also appreciate your vulnerability because I know that when we talk about our past selves, sometimes it can be a little bit of a pain to be like, oh, I treated myself so poorly and acknowledging that. But again, like then you can also appreciate your growth, right? Because you're no longer that person. You're no longer that girl. You are now this woman that is literally empowered and better and stronger. And I appreciate you for like sharing your story. And then really, it sounds so cliche, but I really am grateful for my life. Like, even though I have my own stressors, my own challenges, my own hiccups, like it's a damn good life. And like I could wake up tomorrow and something, absolutely awful could happen. But even then, it's like, just make the most of every day that you can. That doesn't mean you need to climb Mount Everest every single day, but take whatever life gives you and just try to make the most of it. Like that really is like the good message. All right, guys. We'll catch you next week. Peace.
Bye.